This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is one of the songs you'll hear at DGS Live.
Ooh.
That's right. Sung by the Wiggins.
Wiggins!
I'm going to have to learn this song.
He's a singer, too.
Are you going to play Across the Universe?
If you want me to, I will.
You should. Whenever you play that at VIP, we got so many emails about it.
We'll do it.
I thought it was great, too.
DGS Live has music, too?
It does.
This one does.
Dave has a band.
I knew he had a band. I just didn't know that was... I thought it was like a comedy show.
Well, we're
like
all in the band, too.
Oh, we are. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I need you to play the jug.
Good, because I can't play anything else.
Sue shreds
that's
the
one of
electric
the coolest,
guitar.
Yeah. That's one of the coolest bone. Things. Yeah.
Let's spend a couple minutes just doing that.
I want to be that guy.
You want to be that guy?
Yes.
The ham bone guy?
No, I want to be the jugs guy.
Oh.
Taking it from Wiggins.
I'll be the spoons guy.
That jug is mine.
Who had a band? It was a cartoon family band where someone played the jug.
I don't know.
Was it Fat Albert, maybe?
Oh, it was Fat Albert.
There was a thing. With Fat Albert, I got this like a month ago that they were very poor and they were playing like bird cages.
Right.
Because then all of a sudden they'd have like great equipment, like great electric guitars. And I just got that they were just fantasizing. Because I'd be like, why are you playing the bird cage when you got a Les Paul? But now I understand.
Oh.
I'm a slow learner.
I was a
late bloomer.
There was a. When they would do like the guys that lived in the hills on the Andy Griffith show, they had a jug guy.
You realize it was such a big deal with you.
Mm-hmm. I love the jug.
People who
I love the washboard. It's like my stomach.
I have
no jug guy on the Fat Albert band.
Oh, you're right. I see a picture of him playing the mattress springs.
I have a 100-year-old washboard.
That you play or just for decoration?
That I play. Yeah, I play the washboard in the band. No, that I just have. I just own it.
Wiggins, you idiot.
You freaking idiot.
What a question.
We were just talking about playing these things as instruments, and then you said, I have this
thing. I'm not one of the Fat Albert kids.
I could see you playing a washboard.
But if I were going to be, I'd be the one that pulled his stocking cap down over his face.
Was that a Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
I'm sure it was. They all were.
I realized
like
when
the
I got older.
Looks like it.
When I look back at the cartoons that I hated as a kid, they were all Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was like one of those weird realizations. Like, I hate that cartoon. Wait a minute.
There was Hanna-Barbera, and then there was Sid and Marty Krofft, who were just stoned all the time. Like, all of their live-action shows. Yeah. It was... Lidsville and Sigmund and the Sea Monster and all those H.R. Puffin stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All about pot.
Yep.
And again, as a kid, didn't even, idea. Magic flutes and puffin stuff. And
right.
But when you realized as an adult, you started doing drugs because of it, right?
Yes.
Exactly. See?
I just shot up between my toes on the break.
Exactly.
Goes down nicely with your trazodone.
Yeah. It's kind of a cocktail.
How you feeling? How you
feeling? Feeling good. How do I look?
Great.
Thanks.
Better than usual.
I had a mixed emotion weekend.
Okay.
Bought Nick his first motorcycle.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Didn't buy it. He bought it himself.
Right.
And I love motorcycles.
This has been a long time in the making.
Long time in the making. He found a bike. It's an older bike, but really good shape. Smaller bike. He's a, smaller dude. And... he's 24, I can't stop him.
Right.
Like, isn't that a weird thing? Like, if Phoebe wanted out enough, she could find a way to get away. Like, she could run,
Right.
But at 24, you can just go, thank you for everything. I'm moving to Paris, and I hope I never see you again.
Yep.
And people do.
Yep.
And so, he certainly can go buy a motorcycle.
Right.
And I've ridden my whole life. It's one of my passions, yet... I've always said, like when I was doing lives for like Moto Europa, hey, it's an inherently dangerous activity. anyone who tells you that riding a motorcycle is not dangerous doesn't ride a motorcycle. They own a motorcycle. There's a big difference between owning a motorcycle and riding a motorcycle. Anyone who's a real rider will tell you, oh, hell yes, it's dangerous. But I love it enough that you do it anyway.
Yep.
And you just do it as safely as you can.
Right.
And I'm also very happy for him and very jealous in the same way that, like, I'm jealous of people who can watch the first season of True Detective for the first time. Like, oh, I wish I could do that again. And so just knowing the fear he's going to have and the exhilaration and the happiness all mixed up into a bowl of goo.
Mm-hmm.
Few things like it.
Yep.
Is there a class you take, Dave, that show, you know, like a safety class when you're a first?
Yes.
Okay.
And Nick took it.
He took it. Yeah.
He took it. And I will help him with my limited skills, and I'll make sure that he does all the parking lot stuff. But this bike, he had another bike, but it was too big. And so this one's just the right size.
Yeah.
That's cool. Exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's cool. And he works out at Innsbruck, so it'll, you know, he'll be able to take it out there each day and take the back way and stuff. I remember the first time, because I rode mini bikes my whole childhood and then had regular normal guy bikes like in my adulthood, but I hadn't ridden in probably 20 years. And then in 2004, I bought my first modern day bike and I got a Harley, and I was first time on it on the highway on a morning like this. It was too cold to be on it for me. And it was like 8 a.m. going down 270. And I was terrified. I was absolutely numb tongue, terrified.
Right.
And a bus pulled up next to me, and I could tell the kids were like, this is the coolest guy I've ever seen. Because I look like a biker, and I'm on a cool Harley with flames.
And you're terrified.
Terrified. I just wanted to find somewhere to pull off call AAA and pretend I ran out of gas.
Right.
It's always terrifying to me to pull up next to a bus full of kids.
Oh,
isn't that weird?
There's never more judgment.
Oh, I know. I feel like, oh no, all these kids, they're looking at me. They're going to be saying something about my weird face.
It's so true. And the worst is when you're behind them, because you know all the bad kids are in the back.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Even teenagers in general, like when they're all standing on the streets, I'm like, oh, I don't wanna look at these guys. They're going to do something weird.
Did you ever have a parent or a friend's parent who had a station wagon with this fold-up seats in the very back that faced backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like your own. You were on your own continent back there.
Oh, yeah.
You could have any conversation
Master
you wanted.
Master of the universe.
And nobody, the parents driving the car are not going to hear anything you're talking about. And usually, station wagon has that big back window, too. So you have a portal to the world.
Yep.
And that's what we would do. Just sit back there and judge every single person.
I say things like this all the time, but it's absolutely true, and most of you get it. That one day my dad came home with a blue-on-blue station wagon with those backward-facing seats and an electric window in the back.
Ooh.
If I could buy a Maserati today, it wouldn't have a bigger impact.
No.
An $800,000 Maserati could, if you measured my brain, would make me no more excited than seeing that thing pull up in the back in our yard.
Yep.
And then the first time we took it to a drive-in and you back it up and you're just back there with sleeping bags and bags of popcorn.
I never went through, you know, the stage, like they say, well, once you get older, you're going to appreciate something like a minivan because of the extra seats and space. I never went through the phase where that wasn't cool. Mm. I've always thought those big vehicles, because I'm like that. I'm like, that's what I think. I'm going to live in this thing now. Like, I'm going to put down blankets, or look, we can sit here and face this way, or we can sit over here. We have our own captain's chair.
Mm-hmm.
Been on that discussion so many times. I've always thought that stuff.
Those little smoked bubble windows in the van.
I've always thought that stuff is cool. Look at this. Push this button and the whole freaking side opens up. Like, I have always thought that stuff is awesome.
There was no greater indicator of wealth to me as a kid than when a big old van had curtains in it.
Oh,
just shut up.
Do they even make full-size vans anymore? Are they just
conversion vans? Yeah. I bet you'd have to go to a special place. Like a specialty place.
Yeah. My grandpa, who I always went camping with, had a full-size van and pulled the trailer with it. So we had so much space.
Your grandpa was a drug dealer or something.
We had so much space.
He was white trafficking.
You could do anything you wanted. That's great.
There's no one easier in my life to make laugh than Sue. Oh, you guys could just leave. I'll just do it for Sue. And there's no one in the world Wiggins makes laugh like Wiggins.
That's yeah. true. That's the perfect.
It's a giggly room.
I like when Sue does this one. Like, you'll say something, you'll make a point, and she doesn't make a sound, and she goes,
that's right, baby.
We do need a Sue kid.
It's like the hugest head nod
yeah.
in the
There's
world.
There's so much like, nonverbal behavior
oh, yeah.
going on.
Oh, yeah. He got it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, thank you for selling more tickets faster to our next live show than we ever had before. Had it been at one of the first few venues, we'd be all sold out by now. But we are betting on you, and we have contracted with the Sheldon that has 700 seats, so we still have about halfway to go. So go to 971talk.com/DGS. Tickets are only $25. It's the whole show is going to be there. Close is going to be there. Stand up, music, Q&A. It's and we don't even know what's going to happen because that's the nature of these live shows. If you think this show's unscripted, that's way unscripted. VIPs are gone, but you certainly will be able to get to us, you know, and take pictures and stuff like that. So 971talk.com/DGS live.
Truly the way to not do a live show, too.
Oh, yeah.
To not script it.
No.
Like, it makes sense that we, you know, 4 hours a day, it's be impossible to try, even if we tried to, like, write some kind of script for this show. No, it makes more sense to just come on and look at the news or whatever we're talking about and just go. But when you have time to plan a 90-minute, 120-minute presentation.
Probably best, too.
Do you even have an outline? No, nothing? I mean, sort of? Like, eh, we're going to play a couple songs.
Like, we know when the band, like, we know the band's going to play and Dave's going to talk and then we're all going to talk. Other than that.
That's ridiculous. That's amazing.
Hello, Dave.
Other than that, it's not very.
It's like a show. Band's going to play. Dave's going to talk. They're all going to
talk.
Right.
What are we going to talk about? Who knows?
Dave, we need you desperately to help us understand something about the show last Friday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's a big
debate.
Divide.
Yeah.
So when you walked in on your dad, Was he?
Yes.
Was
you
he
thought
alone?
We were going to bring it back,
or
up.
Did he have company?
He had company.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Me and Rachel
Wimmerman.
Wow. Wow. Oh,
we picked
memory.
Up on things you did not pick up on, boys.
Yeah, Dave.
There are things that my brother and I and my son, we look at that saying, you know what? If I'm lucky enough to be 92, 93 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Was he with another resident?
Yes.
Damn. Yeah.
Who was also like in her 90s?
She was like upper 80s.
Ooh, a younger lady.
I see.
Still got it.
Dave and I read
still
that.
Still got it.
Dave and I read that.
I don't
one
know
wrong.
What it was, but still got it.
Dave and I read that story wrong.
I spent the whole weekend picturing him by himself.
Yeah.
And he means the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah. Now I got something else
well,
to picture.
I'm glad it bothered you.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say it bothered me.
No, it didn't.
Not at all.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know how many guys, and I'm just going to use guys here, but and women too. How many people can say that they have walked in on their son and their father, not together, not at separate
you're
times.
Lucky man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll make sure that's the first line of your obituary.
The Murrays.
Beloved
did you hear that story last
father.
Week, Sue?
Oh, I heard it.
Okay. Did you picture old man
she's
Murray?
Shaking her head.
Did you understand it as? Mr. Murray was alone or had company?
I pictured it solo.
Okay. That's how Dave and I pictured
y'all
it too.
Don't
we were wrong.
Another win for the Ziggins.
We were wrong.
Oh.
We were wrong.
Oh, well, I'll be darned.
He had company.
Wow.
Now, Dave, you're going to be thinking about it the next week.
No, yeah. God, yes.
That's even better.
No, I was doing lives for a nursing home at one point, and they said, look, you know, it's a big joke, but it's real. Like,
it's real.
There's a ton of sex going on.
They get STDs late in life because of all the activity.
And you know what? Who cares?
My dad didn't have that, but the way I understand.
That you know of.
I mean, who cares?
Yeah, that I know of.
If you're 85 and you get an STD,
right.
Whatever.
Isn't that the same argument for drugs? Like, drugs should be illegal below, like, 90. And then once you get over 90, do whatever you want.
No, there are doctors
goes.
Yeah, there are doctors that have said, you know, quality of life. At some point, quality of life is more important than dependency. You know,
if you've been smoking all your life and you're 90 years old, I don't think a doctor's going to say, you know, I think you ought to give that up.
Yeah.
My dad started smoking again after 20 years when he was sick in the nursing home with Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is such a weird thing.
It's a horrible thing.
Because he had no idea who he was or who we were, but he knew that he used to smoke and he liked it and he just started smoking again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my mom was really upset. I'm like, what? Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Wait,
you start smoking crack. I don't care. Like, whatever makes you happy at that point.
Yeah, agreed.
So, Dave, tomorrow gets even better?
Yeah, tomorrow lots of sunshine, 79, 80, only 58 for the low tomorrow night. And then Wednesday, still a really good day on Wednesday, close to 80 again, few more clouds around, but a dry day. The next round of rain and thunderstorms late Wednesday night. Wednesday evening will be fine, and during the day on Thursday, a couple of them could be on the strong side. It all depends on the timing of a cold front coming through. Big storm going into the upper Midwest, and we're going to see the tail end of that. Then a little bit cooler, not cold, but a little bit cooler Friday and Saturday. And first look at Easter Sunday, sunshine, mid to upper 70s. It looks gorgeous.
That's
right.
That's awesome.
Now.
Very nice. Like, I don't know, maybe I slept really hard. But I thought I just got rain out in Darden Prairie Saturday night. But I know, like, on the east side, my mom said the storms were just awful.
It was horrible at my house.
Wind. Big-time wind.
Big-time wind. I mean, we have some... There were some very large tree branches and trees with severe wind damage in our neighborhood.
We had an uprooted tree near me.
Wow.
You know, the ground... Well, Rachel saw it. It pulled out by the roots and fell on the house.
The cathedral downtown had part of the roof ripped off.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Rachel, we have a big question for the
70,
day.
70, 80 mile per hour winds.
Wow. Wait, they got that high?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I didn't realize
they were that much either.
So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to... But I guess to do all that damage, they had to be.
So today's big question, this is a new feature we're doing on the DGS. I'm going to tweet it out every day, I think. Hashtag
Does it still have to do with last Friday?
Yeah, it's all about your dad, dude.
It's always going to be about your dad. I
mean, from now on. Yeah.
So that story's never going to go away.
No, it never will go away.
No. So on Twitter, hashtag DGS big question. Follow me at RachelZ971 and Tony at TonyColombo971, all O's. Today's big question. If you were suddenly arrested without any explanation, what would your friends and family assume it was for? At SportsMama on Twitter says, my plate's being expired. That would probably be mine, too. I'm always having problems like that. And Alan says, drunk and disorderly conduct.
Yeah, you wouldn't get arrested for expired plates.
Unless you were doing stuff on top of it.
But, yeah, when you say arrested, my mind goes to
big.
Bad stuff.
Yeah, like what's your vice where they would assume you did something wrong?
Cuffed and thrown in the back of the car.
Yeah, they would probably assume I was drinking and driving, even though I gave up drinking a while back, mostly. I would guess that's what most people would assume.
Okay.
Having worked in ministry, the main thing that everybody thinks happens when somebody immediately, like, suddenly leaves is they either got caught stealing money or they got caught philandering. One of those two. It's always one of those two. And it's not always, it doesn't always end up being that, but that's what everybody
thinks.
What
do you mean leave?
Like fired from the organization.
Leave the church.
Suddenly gone, whatever it is. It's all people.
One Sunday next Sunday not there.
Right. People's mind always goes to, ooh, what were they doing with somebody else?
They must have stolen.
Or stolen, That I did not answer that question, by the way, just so you know.
You have two things that you go, like, they make fun of me for talking about Radio Shack all the time, but Ryan's two things are, like, in ministry and at the friggin' golf course. That's his other thing.
It's just because it's the Masters and because I'm a Christian.
It's kind of the same thing.
Masters in Christianity.
Golf and the church.
If you really look at it, it's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's going to get old. They're both going to get old. I'll tell you that, though.
Yeah.
They're cute right now. It's like, oh, my God, you did it again.
One time at band camp.
All right, I'm done with that.
What's yours, Dave?
I'm very careful about drinking and driving, but that's what I would assume most of my friends, mm-hmm. not because they're drunks, but I doubt they're murdering anybody.
Right.
So if
what would people think if you got arrested?
Yeah. I don't think there's anything special about me where it'd be like, oh,
yeah,
he killed a hooker.
Right.
But so probably something like that, or as much of a not road rage guy as I am, I can feel it in my bones.
Oh, yeah.
That I could be pushed to the point of really hurting someone. I don't want to. It would be terrible for me.
But it would be impulsive.
I'd lose all my money, but I have dreams where I do it, and it feels really good.
Yeah.
I have dreams where if I'm frustrated with someone, I'll punch them in the face.
I bite their face.
Whoa!
I am a face biter.
Really in dreams or in fantasies?
In dreams.
Wow. So it's like subconsciously that is what you're thinking about.
Yes.
I wonder if I'm going to Google that and see what
it's
it
very
means.
Consistent too. And it's when my rage gets to a point that it can't be contained. It's almost always someone's done something to one of my kids and I just start biting their head.
It's never occurred to me when I've had a fight impulse to bite.
Mm. Only heads.
It feels like I don't even want to get that close.
Biting an arm? No.
Punch, kick, fine.
I just feel like biting someone's head or face is
like your ear.
Well,
like
it sends a message. Like,
yeah, it's a message thing.
It's a definite message thing.
It's not even a damage thing.
So the internet says to see bites in your dream is an indication that someone you trust may try to cause you pain.
Duh.
They try to injure you or cause you financial losses. Don't be too trusting, blah, blah, blah. To dream that you are being bitten symbolizes a situation that has been frustrating you.
No, I don't usually get bit.
You're doing the biting.
I'm doing the biting. The first person I bought, I bit.
Yeah?
Charlie Spoonhour.
Really?
30 years ago, the basketball coach for SLU. He and I got in a tussle, and I can still feel
his face.
Yeah,
what did he taste like?
His head was oily.
Yeah, you've told that story before.
And I could feel it behind my two front teeth.
Did you try to bite the old-timey wrestler?
No, I
attacked
was,
you?
No, I was just punching him.
Just punching him.
Isn't that crazy, though, that you, in the dream, I assume you had never actually bitten anyone on the face, but you could feel it?
Yeah.
I used to have dreams that I had smoked a cigarette in the dream, and I just knew what it felt like to smoke, even though I had never done it.
I don't believe in past lives, but I could be convinced because I know what it feels like to be stabbed.
Yeah.
I know what it feels like to be shot. I feel like we all do.
Yeah.
Let's get a little... Oh, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, since we're on the topic of dreams, I had this thought the other day. So there are two beings in my life that I dream about all the time, and they're passed on. One is my cat from childhood. I'll have dreams about her. But I have dreams about my grandma Zimmerman that passed away in 2009 all the time. And it's always a very calming, pleasant dream to the point where it feels like she is communicating with me. I'm not saying that's what it is, but it has happened so consistently and it's always been a positive thing and I've always woken up feeling happier for it. Do you guys think that that could be a thing or do you think that's just my subconscious?
Oh, that's totally a thing.
I think anything could be a thing.
That is totally a thing. Both of my parents are gone, and when I dream about either one of them, I feel the same thing.
Well, she's
you feel
saying,
like they're trying to get to
she's
you.
She's saying, do you think it's possible that it's them?
Yeah.
Not like in your, like it's really them communicating with you.
Oh, I see.
You.
Like
That's
them sending
asking.
You a specific message.
Yeah, like they're the ones doing it from heaven. They're coming into your
it's
brain.
It's not like she's telling me, like, don't go down Olive Street tomorrow.
Right.
It's more like, oh, my grandma loves me, and I miss my, you know what
that,
I mean?
Yes, then I have that.
But it's
I
from her.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. I still think that's possible.
Yeah, I do too.
I dream about my dad, and it's always like, Dad, you're not supposed to be here. And he never talks.
Right.
So I don't know whether it's because he was sick with Alzheimer's the past few years when he was alive and he didn't really talk much. He's always very sweet, and my dad wasn't always a sweet person, but my dream dad is. He's always very sweet, very quiet,
right.
And it's just like... Oh, you're not supposed to be here. What are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
I never, ever, I don't think I've ever dreamt about my brother. Not once.
Oh, that's interesting.
What a gamut between that and biting Charlie Spoonhour's face off.
I'm a dude. I'm like a Native American.
He's a dreamer.
I feel like my nighttime life is probably the real life.
I love to dream.
I dream every single night.
90% of the time when I can remember a dream, it's positive. And it's usually very boring. It's usually like a pleasant day and we're barbecuing or something like that. Like,
I'm jealous.
Sometimes it's action packed. You know, sometimes I'm tracking down a killer I'm in a fighter, but most of the time it's just pleasant.
If you were to say who is the funniest person you could think of off the top of your head to bite their face off, Charlie Spoonhour has got to be that guy.
Yeah. I wish I were just that funny to make it up, but it's a real thing.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, few minutes shy of 5 p.m. My buddy Kel Brazil is here. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And congratulations. Me. Your life coaching is going very well.
It is.
That's great. Yeah. That's really good.
Thank you.
So there's obviously there's a need out there, right?
Oh, there's a need. Yeah, for sure. There's a need.
That like conventional therapy was not addressing.
Well, yes. In the way that therapy kind of looks back is what we've talked about, looks backwards into, you know, some of those early dynamics from childhood or early development or whatever. Life coaching looks forward and gives you a strategy and a plan for getting through some of those, fork in the road decisions or pivotal moments that people need to make or maybe are scared to make or just really can't find the strategy to get there.
And introduces to your client?
Well, this is my client, Sergeant Michael. He's a police officer here in the St. Louis regional area.
Mm-hmm.
We began working together a few months ago, I think, right?
Yeah, a couple months ago.
Yeah. So, Michael, tell us what it's like. What's the experience been like?
It's phenomenal. I didn't know how to, I was in this flat spin, and I got hurt really bad. I was having trouble with the workman's comp doctors, the regular doctors. My marriage fell apart. I mean, just, you know, like, slipping on a banana peel and touch a hot stove and hit the paint. Like it was a comedy of errors that would not stop. And I really didn't know where to go. And I wasn't at rock bottom, but I could see I don't want to get to rock bottom and have to start over. And I heard her commercial on your show and
cool.
I said, hey, this is my sign. I got to do something.
That's great.
Because what I'm doing isn't working.
So was it, we've all been there. I spend most of my time in a flat spin. Was it like you just couldn't pull yourself out? You needed to make a decision you couldn't make? What was really the indicators for you that you needed help with?
So when I would attack a problem, they were intertwined and spiderwebbed. And when I tried one, this would be the reason why you can't do this. And then I would attack that problem and you can't do it because of these two reasons. And instead of just concentrating like on the potatoes on my plate before I could get to my meat, she showed me you can have a little bite of everything like a piece of stew and you can still attack all of your problems a little bit at a time. And it sounds like common sense, you know, concentrated, but you need someone to give you common sense concentrated or you'll, you'll just.
100%. That makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's so many things to do and they all seem like, well, if I pull this string, that's going to fall apart. And if I don't push that button, then this thing's going to, and it's not always true. A lot of times it's like superstitions. You just have superstitions in your mind. And if you're like me, you think everyone in my life will fall apart and die if I do this or I don't do this. And it's not true.
I learned.
Yeah.
I thought that.
So is this pretty common with?
Yeah. And so with what I do, I mean, obviously I can approach the client situation from a remedial standpoint, which means you present with a problem and we work on a strategy and we fix that problem and out the door you go and on down the road. Well, that's fine. But what happens the next time another problem comes along? So I prefer to take the approach of going deep and looking at someone's mindset, because if I can affect the way somebody sees their world and their place in it, I arm them with the skills going forward to handle anything the next time something comes up.
And I bet it's really true, especially for someone like Officer Mike, that I'm sure your nails in parts of your life, you're the go-to guy. So how could I be such a mess over here? And then that creates this shame of like, I don't want anyone to know. I was so hard over here.
Yeah, it was quicksand.
And yeah.
The more I moved and got out of it, the deeper I got into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing my own therapy session because I do the same thing. Like professionally, nails. I can make changes. I don't worry about it. I know that I'll make it okay if it doesn't go exactly right. And that doesn't go exactly right. You put that into the personal world and I just shut down. Just shut down. And some people probably the opposite. Some people, I'm fine. Personal, family, it's all fine. But the job, I can't stay my boss or I can't make this happen or that happen.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it runs the gamut. I see people for this fork in the road, like I said, a career development or career change or that kind of thing. But there's also, relationship. I have clients that I work with specifically for relationship issues. So they may work with a therapy for, codependency issues or whatnot. But what happens then when that problem is addressed? You need a strategy for going forward because you're just going to carry those problems, if you don't, into your next relationship. Yeah.
And I think, too, going to therapy every week like I do, and I don't think my therapist is bilking me, but there comes a time when you go, okay, let's do something, opposed to see you next week, and we'll do the same thing.
Right.
Have the same conversation.
Yeah, and my goal is not to have somebody in a coaching situation for months and months on end. It should not be that way. We should be able to give you some tools, give you some strategies, and, away you go.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. That's great. So are you feeling you're there? You still got a ways to go?
Oh, I will always have a long way to go. But now she taught me how to swim, and that's what I needed to get through this. Instead of just reaching up for a helping hand, now I can just take care of it myself.
That's great. Kel, how do people get in touch with you?
You can reach me by website, KelBrazil, just like the country, .com, or my phone number is 314-565-3335.
Is that your phone number?
Yeah, it's my phone number.
Look at you.
Right.
You're brave. Your phone will be dinging like crazy right now, like inappropriate. And that's just from Wiggins.
My God.
Kel, K-E-L-L, Brazil.com. Thank you, Officer Mike. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your service. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.